Thanks a lot for checking out the Church on the Rock message this week. We would love to help you get closer to God. The best way to do that is to visit cotr.org/connect. Or if you are not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
So we're finishing a series on seeking the face of God. We've been doing this all month long. Next weekend, Easter, we have a brand new series. But seeking the face of God. You know, every time we come together, I'm here to help solve your problems. You realize that, right? But every time you come to church, I give you answers from the Word of God. I give you tools. I give you equipment. I give you principles to solve your problems. When I come, I'm not focusing on me. I'm focusing on you all these 40 years, and I'm here today to help you solve your problems. Number two, to add value to your life, to add value to your life. If you'll take what I teach, your life will get better. I'm all about your life getting better. You know, our brand at Church on the Rock, you know what a brand is, don't you? Those of you who have a business, our brand is God is for you. I just wrote a book. If you haven't got it, get the book. If you've got it and you read it, would you share it on social media? Because I wrote that book to outlast my life. I wrote that book so when I'm gone, our message continues to go on to let people know God's not angry at them. God's not mad at them. God hasn't abandoned them. God loves them. God has a plan for their life, and God is for them. So that's our brand. And that's what we're all about at Church on the Rock, is letting people know that God is for you. Because so many people think God is distant, God is angry, God has left them, God's mad at them, and they have the wrong picture of God. So as we finish today on seeking the face of God, you know, it's all about hunger, isn't it? We're not an average church. I'm not an average pastor. We don't teach an average message. I gave you the illustration at the beginning of this series. I'm going to end it with this illustration. You know, we were in New York City, Daniel and I, with Daryl Strawberry. This is when Daryl had his restaurant in New York City. We're downtown at his restaurant, and Daryl, we're sitting there with him, and he asked me the question, Pastor, why are some churches on fire and some churches are cold and lukewarm? Why do some churches have revival and momentum? Why are some churches stale, stagnant, and dead? I said, Daryl, it's the hunger factor. Churches that are hungry have revival. People and Christians who are hungry are happy, they're growing, they're flourishing, they're moving forward. I gave you the illustration in the natural that when we lose our appetite, usually there's something wrong with us physically. When a Christian loses their appetite, there's usually something wrong with them spiritually. Their focus is broken. Their priorities have shifted. Things have happened in their life that no longer God is priority. So all during this series, I hope that your hunger has increased. Mine has. I hope you've gotten closer to God. I have. I hope you have a greater revelation of who He is. I have that. So I'm here today to add value, to solve your problems, answer your questions, and make your life better. Are y'all ready for this? Okay, so let's get right into it. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Verse 2. Watch this. The Lord is looking down from heaven this Sunday morning. He's looking on humanity. He's looking at all the churches that are gathered. Not even looking at the sinner, but just looking at the churches that are gathered to see if there's anybody that understands and seeks Him. God is looking for people to seek Him. I think He's found Him here at Church on the Rock, right? So I end with this, but when is a good time to seek the face of God? Because I've done this for a long time, and I've heard people say to me when I would witness to them, I don't have time, now's not the time. Later on in life, I want to sow some wild oats. Anybody remember what that phrase meant? I want to sow some wild oats before I come to God. You know, I've heard all the excuses. But when is the right time to seek the Lord? Number one, when you're feeling overwhelmed and you're feeling hopeless, it's a good time not to give up, not to quit, not to do something stupid, but that's a good time to run to God. Number two is when material blessings leave you empty. Get the house, get the car, get the job, and then you find out it didn't satisfy. You know, a good person to study is Solomon, and read the book of Ecclesiastes. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived outside Christ, said everything he wanted, he got. Everything his eye desired, he received, he obtained. And then he said, at the end of the day, none of it satisfied. You go to the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verse 13, and Solomon comes to this conclusion. I found out that the source of happiness and fulfillment is the fear of the Lord, putting God first. Interesting, isn't it? Number three, when's a good time to seek the Lord? When you've got hard questions that nobody can answer. This week, I got an email from a member of our church. A friend of theirs had passed away. And this is good. I get this question. It's a good question. But this person in our church, a member, emailed me and said, Pastor, why? Why did so-and-so die? I don't understand. They were a good Christian, a devout Christian. They served in the church. They worked for God. Why, Pastor? Why? And here's what I'm talking about right here. I answered him. Having hard questions no one can answer, that's a good time not to backslide, not to leave the church, not to question the Word of God, not to question the character of God, not to get offended at God, not to get mad at God, but it's a good time to seek the face of God. Number four, when's a good time? When I don't know my purpose. When I don't know my purpose, I don't know my gifts. I don't know my strengths. I don't know what I'm called to do. I don't know my purpose. It's a good time because He's the one that created you. He's the one that crafted you. He's the one that put the DNA in you. He knows what you're to do more than anybody else. And here's what I know. If you don't discover what God wants you to do, someone else will tell you what to do. Right? And you want to discover God's purpose for your life. When is a good time to seek the face of God? When I begin to get a correct picture of God. That's what happened in my life. That's my testimony. When I begin to find out that read the Bible for myself, actually when I begin to read the Dake's Bible, I begin to read the Dake's Bible, look at the footnotes. I thought, wow, where have I been all my life? I never heard that. I never saw that. And I began to get revelation of a different picture of God. I saw that God was for me, that God loved me, that God believed in me, that God had a plan for my life, that God wanted me to prosper and be in health, that God wanted me to be a success and the head, not the tail, above and not beneath. When I begin to see that, I can't get enough of God. I'm addicted to God. Amen. I want more of God. So when is a good time to seek the Lord? We're gonna look at something right now. I want you to watch a video of Deion Sanders, okay? I want you to watch a video of Deion Sanders. Now, to watch the full and complete video, you can go to YouTube. You can check it out and watch it for yourself. But right now, let's just look at a glimpse of Deion Sanders' testimony. How he had everything. You're going to hear him say, I had all the women. I had all the clothes. He said, I had hundreds of suits. He said, I had 500 pairs of shoes. I had the Lamborghini. I had the Ferrari. I had the mansion. But yet he attempted suicide. Let's watch it.
There's a lot of things that separate like the greatest from like the pretty goods, right? And one of them is your ability to play hurt.
First and foremost, everything is never going to be perfect. Aren't we all playing hurt? That's why I tell people to be careful who you have as a role model. Because most of us were models just playing a role. I'm just giving you the picture that you wanted to see because it's really not me. I'm not prime time, I'm Dion. You don't care about Dion because you care about prime. So I got to give you prime. And I got lost trying to satisfy you all with the persona. And I began to be suicidal. I mean, I'm on the top of my game, on the top of the world. Several different commercials. And how in the world can I be suicidal? How in the world can I not want to be him?
Deion Sanders opened up to Antonio Brown by sharing the story of how he attempted suicide after getting caught up in trying to live up to the hype and trying to always be who the fans wanted him to be.
I'm in a 15,000 square foot house, but never feeling at home. I have hundreds and hundreds of suits, but I can't cover up the pain. I got 500 or more pair of shoes, but I can't take a step in the right direction. Several cars parked in the driveway, but I ain't going nowhere. I'm 3 for 4, and I'm still going to commit suicide after the game. All this stuff came to a head where I finally had to get on my knees and say, Lord, take me, man. I can't do this no more. I had to surrender and give it all to him.
You've had multiple callings in your life. The Lord's had his hand on you all your life, kind of preparing you for like this moment. Anybody listening to this, he's doing the same for you. You just need to be aware of it.
I don't allow myself to have a bad day. I could have a bad moment. I could have a bad minute. I could even have a bad hour, but never a bad day.
Really?
I'm not going to let it get to that point. You know why? Because I got the darn remote control of life to me. I could turn me up. I could turn me down. I could add some color to it. I could do anything I want with this remote control that controls me. I've introduced myself to me, and I know me in its totality. It is nothing that can happen in life that will catch me off guard. I dealt with deaths, I dealt with misfortunes, I dealt with lying, cheating, stealing, manipulation. I've dealt with all of it. And that's why I'm comprised to lead these darn young men into a life that they pray about and a life that they desire. That's why God has called me to lead these young men. And I love the calling.
I've done 600 episodes. That's one of my most treasured moments ever of doing a show, right there. You're a good man. All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. So my guest today really doesn't need an introduction, but I'm going to give him one. A lot of you know him right now because he's
now,
so
guys,
popular on social media. As one of the great.
Thank you very much. Isn't that a powerful testimony? How he had everything, and it didn't please him or satisfy him. So one day, it was time for him to seek the Lord, and everything changed. It does, doesn't it? Yeah, so let's close with this, and let's look at some scriptures here today, again, on how to seek the Lord. And we're going to go to Isaiah 55 in your Bible, and we're going to look at Isaiah 55 and verse 6, okay? So I've told you in this series, you know, what to do. Then I told you how to do it. Then I told you why you should do it. And I've given you stories and illustrations from the secular and the spiritual. I've done everything I could do to best to help you have a greater hunger for God. And I want to close with this. How do I create hunger for God? How do I seek the face of God? What's the first word here? Seek. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Do you see something here? He's going to tell us how to seek the face of God. But he also brings out that he's not always going to be found. He's not always going to be near. What do you mean from that? I grew up in the church, and I remember times when altar calls when I was a teenager, and I knew I should respond to that altar call, but I didn't. And the next time the altar call came, I was a little bit harder. I sensed God a little bit lesser. Excuse my English. And that's what he's talking about, is the more that I say no to God, the farther away he goes. The more I say no to God, the harder my heart becomes. The more I say no to God, I don't have time for you, God. I don't have a place for you, God, right now. Later on in my life, then it's harder to find him and get close to him. So while the anointing is there, while his presence is there, while the opportunity is there, I need to seek him. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. He's not always going to be near. He's not always going to be easy to find. So in those opportunities, those altar calls, those power moments, those days where the light comes on and God's drawing me for more, I need to respond quickly and obediently. Amen. While he can be found and while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. His what? Thoughts. And let them return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon them. Thank God for mercy. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon you. For my thoughts, for your what? Come on, everybody, for what? Okay, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So how do I seek God? I have to exchange my piddly thoughts for his precious thoughts. I have to exchange my beggarly, meagerly, small, stinking thinking for his promises full of faith, grace, and mercy. It's called the law of exchange. I have to get rid of all the time on Facebook and email and Twitter and TikTok, and I'm so full of that I have no room for God's word. Let me give you an illustration. You know, Thanksgiving, we all overeat. I mean, I overeat, okay? I won't include you, amen. But you know, sometimes I would overeat with the snacks in the morning before the meal while I was getting prepared for noon. So because I filled up on snacks, I had no room for a good meal at Thanksgiving at noon. So if you fill up on Facebook and email and TikTok and social media and you come here, you have no room to hear what I have to say because you're already full. Are you with me? So how do I seek God? Through changing my thoughts. Getting rid of my thoughts and replacing them with his thoughts is how I seek God. I think we would call it what Nina Bronner called it Friday night. Renewing your mind in the Word of God is how you seek God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Notice that his way is not our way, and our way is not his way. In other words, his way is much better than our way. God's will and God's plan is the safest place for you to be in today. God's will and God's plan is the safest place for you and I to be in today. And notice that my ways change after I change my thoughts. My thoughts come first and my ways follow. Somebody says it like this: thinking precedes behavior. Thinking precedes behavior. I always say to parents, if you want to change your child's behavior, you have to change their thinking. You have to change your child's thinking in order to change their behavior. So he says, my thoughts, now remember, he's still talking about seeking God. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. So if I want to change my way, I change my thoughts. If I want to change the way my life is going, I change the way I'm thinking. I'm going to replay that. If I want to change the way my life is going, I have to change the way I'm thinking. If I want to change the way and the direction my life is going, I have to change the way I'm thinking. Your life moves in the direction of your most dominant thought. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. God's way is better. And my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Now remember, he's still talking about seek the Lord while he can be found. Seek the Lord while he's near. Don't keep putting him off. Don't keep putting him to the side, because someday he may be hard to find. He may be so far away I can't feel him anymore. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. So how do I seek the Lord? By reading the word as the team comes. How do I seek the Lord? By renewing my mind in the word of God. How do I seek the Lord? By aligning my thoughts with his thoughts. How do I seek the Lord? With a one-year Bible. I can't love God without loving his word. I can't love God without loving his word. No one can tell me they love God and not read the word. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it will not return void, but it will accomplish, ooh, I like it, that which I sent out to do. It'll prosper in the thing that I send it to. So we started off with seeking God. How do I seek God? By renewing my mind in the Word of God daily. How do I seek God? By changing my thoughts and aligning them up to His thoughts. How do I seek the Lord? By putting His way before my way. By saying, not my will, but thy will. Am I helping anybody today? This is going to solve all your heartache, all your pain. This is going to turn your life around. This is going to answer all your problems, relational, physical, financial, emotional. The answer is found in the Word of God. God has a promise for every problem you're in today. God has a promise for every problem you're in today. Next, number one, I seek God through reading and applying the Word of God. Am I making it simple? A good communicator speaks at a fifth grade level. A good communicator speaks at a fifth grade level. I hope I'm communicating today. Number two, you discover His character when we read the Word of God. I discover God's will when I read the Word of God. I discover God's ways and how God operates when I read the Word of God. God's Word has to be priority in my life if I want to experience all that God has for me. So through the Word, I discover God's character. Through reading the Word and renewing my mind and exchanging my thoughts for His thoughts, I discover His will and I discover His ways. Number three, through the Word renewing my mind, I come to Him through His Word. I come to God. I get closer to God by reading His Word. I get closer to God. See why the devil doesn't want us to read the Bible? See why the devil doesn't want us to do the one-year Bible as a church family? See why he wants to keep you out? How come it's so hard to keep out of it, but easy to get on social media? There's something there, right? Number four, I get to know Him through His Word. I get to know Him through His Word. I seek God through His Word. I seek God through renewing my mind in the Word of God. I get closer to God. I know God. I grow in God through reading the Word. And number five, I begin to walk with Him through His Word. How do you walk? You have to agree. How can two walk together except they agree? I begin to walk with Him through His Word. By reading the Word of God, applying the Word of God, changing my thought life, renewing my mind, I'm seeking the face of God. I'm getting closer to God. I'm strengthening my faith. I'm walking with God. I'm getting established and grounded in the Word. I'm getting established and grounded in the Word. And number six, I get alone and get in the zone when I'm with Him in His Word. I get alone in the zone with Him through His Word. You know, we're going to have Terry Savelle come here in just a few weeks on Mother's Day. Remember Terry Savelle. And she just came out with a book. She just came out with a brand new book called The Advantage of Being Alone. The Advantage of Being Alone. Haven't read it yet, but I'm sure it's good. But you can't get in the zone with God unless you get alone with God. I'm going to say it again. You and I can't get in the zone with God without getting alone with God. And number seven, my attitude and my approach determines what I receive from His Word. I seek God. He said that the Word goes forth and it will accomplish what it's sent out to do. It will not come back void. Through the Word of God, I changed my thought life. I changed my thought life. I changed my life. I changed my thought life. I changed my life. I walk with God through the Word. I know God through the Word. I get strong in God through the Word. What should be my attitude? What should be my approach every time I open the Word? It should be hungry. It should be humble. It should be honest. I forgot already. Hungry, humble, honest habits. That should be my approach and my attitude as I approach God's Word. Seeking the face of God is the answer to every problem you're encountering today. In Jesus' name.
Would you like to keep growing in your faith? At Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's learning more about discovering what it means to join a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/connect, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you are part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.